This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. If you heard Patsy over here in the background, we're so excited this week. I'm on Patsy Caminetti's couch and we are seeing things.
Oh, yeah.
Patsy and I felt in my spirit, Patsy, before I came here that we should do this.
Yeah.
That we should share with people some of the things we'd learned from Brother Hagin.
Yeah.
And Patsy and I, and we want you to have this book. I'm led of the Spirit, folks, and I don't mind saying it. To get Brother Hagin's book, I Believe in Visions, into your hands. We're going to make a special price on it. I don't know what it'll be. I'm in Australia. I do not know what our price is, but I'm telling you, we'll make you a good one. And if you'll just call 1-800-972-3447 and ask for I Believe in Visions by Kenneth E. Hagin, then you can find out. We'll send it out to you. But I'm going to ask Patsy Caminetti, who was so close to Brother Hagin, and you were.
Yeah.
And you were all your life. You were, I mean, from the time you came to Rhema, and you were working there. You were in Face Creation. You were heading up the healing school that was so dear to his heart. And then when you went out in ministry, you're still connected with Kenneth Hagin Ministries,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to just ask Patsy to share with you whatever she wants to. Just take it away, Patsy.
This book that you're saying about I Believe in Visions, it was one of the first books that I read. Not the first, but it was one of the first books that I read. And I remember thinking, this is very amazing that Jesus not just came and comforted, because a lot of times when you hear that Jesus has appeared to someone, he's come to give them a healing or give them an encouragement or a short word of direction. But in these visions, Jesus gave whole teachings and sometimes on occasion spoke for over an hour.
Oh.
There came a time, I remember, when I had to decide, do I actually believe that my Lord Jesus Christ did that?
And I do. And he pulled out a chair and sat in it and talked to Brother Hagin.
And what I appreciated about Brother Hagin is that Brother Hagin made sure that what he was hearing with his ears and seeing with his eyes matched the Word of God.
That's right.
He was not just moved by supernatural experience, but he was so planted and grounded in the Word of God. And I think Jesus loved that about him. It was a safe deposit.
Yes, he was a man he could trust.
He could trust, yeah.
It didn't puff him up.
It wasn't sensationalized at all.
Even though Jesus spoke to him that he was really going to have to do with the second coming of the Lord and preparing the body of Christ for it.
Right.
He never let people put him up on a pedestal of any kind.
Oh, and dreaded that. Because that would be the very undoing of the call that he was called to. But the chapter names of this, come up hither, and that's when, you know, Jesus told him about the healing ministry and also about his purpose for the end times of preparing the way for the second coming of the Lord. And if the badge of doubt, next chapter.
That's the demon chapter.
Oh, my goodness. And the simple exercise of authority of any believer.
Yes.
How easy that is. And then how Satan influences lives today.
Oh, that was it. That's the demon chapter. I mixed up. Yep.
But Jesus talked to him on two different occasions about dealing with demons.
Yes.
And how important that is in these days.
I remember that he said just before Jesus come, there was going to come a further enlightenment on how to deal with demons and that, you know, further revelation and that we weren't going to get off this time.
We're not going to get off this time.
That it tried to come before and men had gotten off.
Yeah. And as...
You remember they were casting devils out of doorknobs.
Exactly.
And all kinds of things.
I remember. And I remember Brother Hagin teaching from that vision in healing school one time. And there had been, there was kind of a bit of a rash going through Rhema in that time of the extreme of deliverance. And Brother Hagin didn't know it. But we knew it because we were in more contact directly with the students. And they were saying, you know, different ones were coming and reporting of daily deliverances and all that kind of a deal.
Same person, everyday deliverance.
Yeah, yeah, and different ones of them, and it was starting to try to spread. Well, this was Rhema. This was really important.
Oh, yes.
Well, I was so grieved. I was grieved to tears. And so different times when he would be I'd either be in his office or after healing school, you know, we'd debrief and stuff, he'd be in mine. He'd say, "Something is bothering you. What is it?" And I felt compelled of the Holy Spirit not to tell him, because it needed not to be addressed from the mind. It needed to be addressed by the Holy Spirit through his ministry. So in those days in healing school, he was teaching on the 19 individual cases of healing. And he, I can't remember which one he was on, but every day...
In the Bible, 19 in the Bible. He always was
in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, yeah. So he would start off to tell about one of these individual cases and end up with this vision.
On the demons.
Yes. And this one happened in the kitchen. Remember, he was with those pastors.
Yes.
And he was on his knees, and Jesus appeared to him right there in their kitchen.
Yep.
And taught him about devils, demons, and evil spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And for day after day after day, he'd say, "I don't know why I'm doing this, but I I feel that I'm to talk about this vision." And that teaching straightened this extreme up. But it did it by the Holy Spirit. It was so beautiful. But all of these...
And you're watching.
Oh, my goodness.
Watching the move of the Holy Spirit, work of the Spirit.
It's true. There's an angel visit.
Mm-hmm.
How angels, and I've just been reading in the book of Acts, how angels helped in the plan of God. How angels are going to help in the plan of God of preparing the way of the Lord in
they
the second coming.
They preceded his first coming and they preceded his second coming.
So literally all of these chapters have to do with different components for preparing the way of the Lord. They are not just stories.
No.
They're
Jesus
not just,
appeared.
Exactly. And they're not just isolated Bible doctrines.
No.
They're important and practical Bible doctrines for the believers to use and to know and to apply to prepare the way of the Lord, because Jesus is coming.
Yes.
And so the one that I am looking at is a beautiful one. One of my favorites. Well, really all of them are. But it is the River of Praise.
I'm in that chapter.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm in there.
Really? This one has to do with the body of Christ.
That's right, and denominational people, and that was me.
Yeah. I wasn't one of those, but...
No, you were one of the Pentecostal
I was
denominations.
One of the Pentecostal denominations. But it was when I went to Rhema was in 1976, right when the swell of the charismatic move was beginning. It was so beautiful. One of my roommates was Baptist, another one was Episcopalian, and the other one was Presbyterian.
Yes.
And I was Pentecostal.
You were the little Pentecostal.
It was wonderful. And I loved that vision because of what Jesus taught him in that day of how all of these people are going to flow together. And there aren't many bodies. There is one body.
Only one body, only one head.
Yes.
And then the body.
That's right. And we have all been baptized into one body. And I saw in Brother Hagin's life in ministry a love for the body. It didn't originate in him. It was not his own personal love for the body. It was the love that Jesus, the head of the church, loved the body and gave himself for it. And so I saw that in Brother Hagin's life and ministry. And so that kind of revelation of the of not a fragmented body, but us flowing together. And I love how this vision says it. They flowed into one. And so I believe that's the time that we are in right now.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
And there's
great unity
in
that. Yeah.
It was a beautiful flower garden.
Yeah.
And there was a marble bench.
Yeah.
And Jesus took his hand and led him into that flower garden, sat on that marvelous, on the bench. And he smelled the fragrance of the flowers. And there seemed to be a river flowing into the flower garden.
Right.
And the river turned to people.
To people.
And he saw people, men in top silk hats and evening dress, women in gowns. And then he saw people with work clothes on.
Mm.
He saw every kind of a person, and they came into that, and the Lord Jesus said, these are what you call denominational people, and they're going to come into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord then told him that he wanted him. He said, I am visiting hungry hearts everywhere.
Everywhere.
Wherever I find hearts that are open to me, in whatever church they may be, I will visit them in this hour. I also will visit places you never would have thought of I would visit. Not only what you call denominational churches, but I will also visit other religions where hearts are hungry and open to me. I will bring them into a full salvation and into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This river is all these people who will be called in these last days.
Yes.
So it's a last days thing.
Yes.
And who will flow as one and will come together as one. The beautiful aroma of these flowers is the praise of these people ascending unto heaven, even as the incense of old ascended unto me. And I remember this was prior to the charismatic move, and the Lord led him to meet us on a neutral ground.
Yes.
Because we wouldn't, I think the Pentecostal churches thought we would all go to their churches.
Yeah.
But it didn't work that way. There came about the Full Gospel Businessmen. And then
I
when I came to hear Brother Hagin all the way from Collinsville, Oklahoma, 21 miles, I had told someone speaking in tongues was of the devil. And they took me the next week to 1029 North Utica, where he was teaching a seminar on that subject.
In that subject.
And all that's in that seminar is in the new books they put out of him, Tongues.
Yes,
and
yes.
Everything that he taught there. If you've got questions about tongues, you just get that book from us or Kenneth Hagin Ministries. But in this flower garden vision, he was told that he would have a great part to play in this. Now, he said, I have seen much of this come to pass, but I have not seen it in its fullness. He even said that when he passed away.
It's the truth. You know, one of the last times that Tony and I got to talk with Brother Hagin, we were living in Singapore in those days, and most of our students were denominational people outside of Pentecostal ranks. And I still remember we were sitting on the couch and he was sitting in his chair. We started talking to him about the Methodist people, Anglican, Presbyterian, and he sat up in his chair and his eyes got real big and full of life, and he said, that's that vision I saw.
Yes.
And he recounted this vision.
Yes.
And something in his heart just lit up because it was matching what he had seen in that vision so many years ago. And it will happen more and more before the second coming of the Lord.
It will happen more and more. You need this book, I Believe in Visions. You can get it from us, 1-800-972-3447. Or go online to billybrim.org. And Patsy and Tony Caminetti are missionaries in this Australia, where one of the great moves of God is going to receive the second coming of the Lord. You can give to them at Box 35337, Canton, Ohio, 44735. Make your check out to Caminetti, C-A-M-E-N-E-T-I Ministries. Box 35337, Canton, Ohio, 44735. Patsy and Billy saying, Shalom, Shalom.